York Knicks.
I'm back, back in the New York groove.
Well, it's the Knicks.
New York.
We are the New York Knicks.
New York girls.
For this new season, we're about to enter. The Knicks taking no shorts, just like winter.
New York, New York.
New York be about the Knicks, huh?
But the best thing about New York City is...
Hey everybody, it's the New York Knicks podcast episode 630. I am Jay. How you doing, Mark?
Good, good. Do you think Evan Fournier watches the Knicks play and is like, he's like, RJ Barrett, I'm sitting on this bench because this motherfucker, I can do, I'm better than this motherfucker.
Probably. I mean, RJ is shooting 25% for the season. We know Fournier could do that.
Fournier is actually a really good three-point shooter. They need that. He can also play no defense like RJ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Last night, so we're taping. We're coming off the Knicks played split with the Bucks, had a wonderful Christmas win, and then last night had a somewhat winnable game against OKC. OKC looks kind of awesome, and that's where we are. Did you like at the end of the game when? When Tibbs said, IQ is red hot. Let me overthink this and pull IQ. And RJ immediately turned the ball over and then missed an open three. And we had the RJ / Tibbs experience. How was that for you?
Yeah, it was one of those where it was like, you knew it was going to be bad news as soon as it happened. Because IQ was hitting everything. And then after the game, Tibbs said... he did it because of length, and he thought that would work better on defense.
And they were getting smoked on defense. I mean, on a side note, Jay, do you think OKC has a shot to go to the final? I think they're really good. I think they're a top three team in the West.
Yeah, they're really good. They're long. Pretty much everybody could shoot. They did not punt on the draft, so they got Jalen Williams.
No, actually, their two best players outside of Chet were guys that were on the draft board, and the Jet and Knicks said, "Hey, we don't need those guys. We're good. We don't need SGA. I mean, we got Frank from last year and Jalen Williams. What if we got worthless future first round protected first instead?"
Yeah, that's a great idea. So, of course, as the basketball gods do, Jalen Williams got a career high 36 points against the Knicks because the Knicks should have drafted him. They didn't. And so now he's going to haunt the Knicks every time they play for the rest of our lives.
He might haunt the league. He looks really real. I hadn't watched too much of Jalen Williams because I really just watched the Knicks games. I know his numbers always look really good and people talked him up. I think Bill Simmons said he's going to be a future all-star. And I know his game last night was they had the Knick effect where he played above what he normally would play. How mm-hmm. could he be? He had a career night. But man, he looked great on offense, great on defense. What is the team's biggest need right now?
The Knicks or the Thunder?
Well, the Knicks.
The Knicks need a consistent wing.
Yeah. What position does Jalen Williams play?
I know. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable the guys they've passed over. Like, forget the whole idea of tanking. The Knicks have just blown draft after draft. And I guess, they've gotten some decent guys, and IQ's really good, and Grimes is decent, and so forth. But they really have had an opportunity to take a game-changing all-star year after year, and have just missed it.
Well, I'm more annoyed that they just punted the last 2 years and didn't draft anybody.
Well, last year they didn't punt as much as they traded. They traded away the wrong pick, but I mean that was a bad whatever. But
well, they punted because they had no players. They added nobody through the draft.
So well, last year they traded their pick and kept the Dallas pick, thinking the Dallas pick would be a decent pick.
Yeah,
and they lost whatever. That was. Josh Hart was a great addition to the team, so I'm not that mad about it. The year before, when they just didn't draft anyone, and I guess the whole idea was they needed to get under the cap to sign Jalen Brunson. I'm just still not convinced they couldn't have drafted someone also. Like, I know they traded Alex Burke right afterwards, Alex Burks and Nerlens Noel afterwards. The money was there. They could have figured it out with and still drafted. Like, it was just ridiculous.
Yeah, you said it before. They could have stretched Kemba and not attached a pick to get rid of him.
Exactly. You stretch Kemba, like, you're like, we have the 11th pick. How about we could use it and stretch Kemba? Nope, can't do that. We have to basically trade a first, give up our opportunity to draft at 11 just to move off of Kemba's contract. It was so ridiculous.
So on social media, there seems to be a Knicks civil war going on about RJ Barrett.
Yes, there's two sides to this. Mm-hmm. The one side that thinks RJ Barrett is a bench player, is average at best, and is really holding the team back. Mm-hmm. And then there's the side that's delusional.
So part of the argument, I'm just going to throw out both sides. Part of the argument is that he doesn't have enough of a chance. He doesn't have enough opportunities on offense. So I looked into that. He takes the 58th most shots per game in the league.
Okay. So basically there are 30 teams. So basically basically assuming he's like a second option on most teams.
He takes the same amount of shots as a second option on most teams, yes. Yeah. So out of those 57 other players, 58, yes. 58 other players, where would you think his effective field goal percentage ranks? Now, effective field goal percentage, for those who don't know, includes all shots, two-pointers, three-pointers, and free throws.
Yeah, and he's been getting the one thing he's done well this year is, well, he's always gotten to the free throw line, but now he's shooting better at the line. He's shooting a full, like, 10% higher. So mm-hmm. It's been really good there.
Yeah.
So there's 58 players that are taking as many shots or more than him. Mm-hmm. Where does he rank?
Where does he rank 1 through 59?
I'm going to say 59th because since he came back from the migraine, he has been absolute trash. If you look at his stats post-migraine, mm-hmm. they're horrible. Pre-migraine, they were like, he was taking a step forward, but post-migraine, it's been embarrassment.
So if you said 59th, right? You would be exactly correct. Sorry. 58th.
Out of 58 players, right?
Out of 59. He is the 59th. Jordan.
Let me guess. The player that ranks below him. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Can we play this in 20 questions? Okay. Is he in the East?
No.
Oh, okay. My next guess was going to be Cade Cunningham. Where's Cade?
I will look that up while you guess.
Okay. Is he on a team that's in the playoffs right now?
No.
Okay. Is he a rookie?
Cade's bottom 10.
Okay. Is he a rookie?
He is not a rookie.
Okay, that I was going to say the dude on Trailblazers. Is he? Okay, who is it?
It is Jordan Clarkson.
Oh, he's never been an efficiency guy.
Sorry, he is 57th. Wemby has now moved into 58th place.
Oh, I mean 59th place.
59th place.
Okay, well, that's pretty good. So basically you're saying RJ Barrett is better than the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, like everyone's saying Wemby's going to be a future star, which I do agree with. So RJ is better than a future star.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good news, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's great.
So I was listening to Locked On Knicks, which is a podcast I appreciate, and they proposed the starting unit of Hart, Randall, Brunson, of course, and then two changes to the lineup, IQ and Hart, and Josh Hart. So benching RJ and benching DiVincenzo in favor of IQ. Mm. What do you think?
I guess you're doing that because if you play Dante and
you're thinking
quickly,
that Josh Hart
at the same
guard
time, you're like very small, right?
Yeah, not that Josh Hart's really huge at 6'4", but he seems to be able to play up a little bit, like guard bigger position. I think the Knicks have him at their power forward. What do you think of that move?
Josh Hart tweeted, "I am not a forward," on Twitter, by the way. I love Josh Hart.
Do you know, I love how out of position the Knicks are. The Knicks are just like, they have all these guards. They're everyone that plays small forward is playing out of position. Everyone that plays backup power forward is playing out of position. The Knicks need an extra center. What did they sign? A power forward to play center. I mean, everyone knows Taj Gibson is not a center.
It is.
They haven't even bothered to get a guy who is a real center for a backup.
It is a very, very weirdly constructed roster. They need to do a two or a three for one to just clear up some of the shooting guard mess.
I think they need to. They're going to have two first-round draft picks this coming year. Theirs and the Dallas pick, unless anything goes drastically wrong with Dallas. They should keep both picks and use them. I think getting a guy through the draft would be super important to this team and might be better than what you have, at least more upside than what you're going to get through a trade. I still want them, like, I'm totally fine with them making like a big trade, just not with this year's pick.
Yeah, I'd agree. Jamie says they should go after Bol Bol. He's not playing that much in Phoenix.
I don't know what Bol Bol really, I mean, he seems like a guy that, like, Detroit should go after Bol Bol. Detroit's doing nothing anyway. All their minutes are just like garbage minutes anyway. Just see if you can unlock Bol Bol.
So I have some Detroit news that
is directly
related to the Knicks, actually.
I saw they were winning tonight against Boston.
So, you know how the Knicks got an extra away game because of this stupid tournament, and they kind of got screwed
by
that way?
By the way, Detroit's up by 13 points on Boston right now in the second. Just one big news for a team that's lost 28 games in a row.
Yeah, they'll be down by 10 by the time we finish this podcast. So, you know, the Knicks had an extra away game because of the tournament. They're giving the Knicks an extra home game, and that home game is Detroit. They switched it from an away to a home game.
Okay. So the league basically felt bad for making the Knicks play the Celtics and the Bucks a fifth time this year?
Yeah. So what they did is they gave the Knicks a home game in a game that they were going to win anyway. Also,
well, I mean, like, I don't mind this because at least it's like we're really going to lock in that this is going to be a win.
I'm a little confused. Does Detroit now have a lopsided schedule where they have more away games? And is the NBA like, you guys suck so bad, we just don't even care?
Every team that's lopsided has to, like, Detroit has to just, like, make up for it.
Detroit has, like, no home games. They're like, you guys, nobody wants to watch you anyway. You just stink.
Detroit's like, wait, I really don't understand this. Why do we have to sweep the floor at the Suns game? The crew wasn't there. You guys have to just sweep the floor. You got to clean up after everyone.
You know what they should do? They should just take away all the Nets home games because they don't really have a home crowd anyway.
The Nets last night played, you pointed it out to me, but they played the first quarter and then bailed on the game against the Bucks.
They were
just up, sat everyone the rest of the way.
They were up by 8 against the Bucks after the first quarter and sat the starters the rest of the game. I've never seen a mid-game tank for a team that's in a playoff position.
Jock Vaughn said that Mikal Bridges had played 40 minutes the night before and everyone played big minutes, so he just, I guess he didn't think the game was winnable. Were they up?
They were up by 8.
The league should fine Jock Vaughn.
Yeah, they were up by 8 at the end of the first, and they sat the whole starting lineup except for Dennis Smith Jr. for the rest of the game.
I mean, and I guess playing Dennis Smith Jr. is a way of tanking.
Yeah, I mean, they ended up losing by 22, but...
That's absurd.
It's pretty wild. I've never seen anything like that in my life. I've seen sitting all your starters on the second night. I've never seen playing them... being up and then going, nah.
It must have been, I actually kind of wish I'd watched that Net game because I'd like to have seen the commentators, like,
they must
when
so
they realized those guys weren't coming back in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the beginning of the second quarter, like, oh, they're going with an all-bench unit. Like, 5 minutes of the second quarter, like, you think they'd bring back Mikal Bridges or someone right now. And then towards the end of the second quarter, they're like, what's going on here, guys?
It's absolutely insane.
Okay, so... Right, one of the things people are complaining about is Emmanuel Quickley's minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's been playing pretty well.
Yeah.
He's playing 5 minutes less a game this year. What happened to his 5 minutes?
Well, it's got to be shared with the other 7 shooting guards that are on the roster.
I mean, all those minutes have gone basically... Previously, Obi got like 15 minutes a game. 13 to 15 minutes a game. Dante DiVincenzo gets 20 minutes a game. He's basically, DiVincenzo got Obi's minutes plus five from IQ because they had a share. I want to blame Tibbs, but I feel like you kind of have to blame Leon Rose for making this weird roster.
Yeah, I mean, because you know he's going to get the backup Brunson minutes, but that's only like 14 minutes a game.
Right.
And then you have to share with so many other guys for the rest of the minutes. It's, I still think he should be getting more minutes. Maybe at the expense of RJ.
Yeah, I think RJ's, I think that's the reality the organization needs to face, is that RJ is doing, you want to win, RJ's doing the team a disservice. He's not playing well. If anything, RJ needs to earn his minutes back. RJ's playing 30 minutes a night. Reduce him to 20 minutes a night. Take out 10 minutes of his time and see how, like, see if he responds.
I mean, I know there's still some hardcore RJ defenders out there. Look at his stats. They haven't really changed in 4 years.
So if you just switched out RJ out of the starting lineup, kept DiVincenzo, just switch RJ for IQ. I mean, I guess the Josh Hart idea. So I guess the lineup with Hart and IQ plus Brunson, Hart, and Randall has a fantastic plus minus. It's their best lineup, basically plus minus wise on the team for all their 5-man units. That's why it's being proposed. But even just switching RJ out and IQ in the starting lineup, I feel like you can make that work. I mean, I know the point guard situation with the backups isn't wonderful, but you could always. You pull Brunson a little bit early and give him more minutes with the second unit. You can make it work.
Yeah.
But IQ has to play 30 minutes a night going forward. The minutes are too spread out.
Yeah, they are. And you know what? Dante was hot last night, and he only played 21 minutes as well.
There were some times also where I was like, even if he's open, and they're not giving. You got to keep feeding him when he's open. Whereas I also saw Josh Hart defense wasn't even bought like. They weren't even bothered guarding him at the three-point line, which is because he doesn't shoot threes. And then RJ, they're leaving open because they know he misses all his threes.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it hard to win when guys aren't shooting threes or just missing them. You have too many non-shooters.
Yeah, and I know we defend Randall a lot on this podcast, but there was three straight plays in the fourth quarter last night where he just felt like he was wronged and stayed back to argue. He didn't cross half court for three straight possessions.
The Randall experience is always frustrating, but on the positive note, since his bad 6-game stretch, he has been highly efficient from two. His 3-point shooting hasn't been great, but he's also just taking a lot less threes. He's pulled back. Yeah. He's like, I'm just shooting twos. I'm going to bully ball. I'm going to go to the basket and I'll shoot a couple threes a game.
He's shooting his second worst from three since he joined the Knicks. But he's taking over three less a game. He realized, I'm not good at this. I'm only going to take threes if I'm open. And it's improved his efficiency, like, greatly. His free throws are up. His field goal percentage is up. So,
I mean, outside of him, complaining about calls, generally, and his defense has been okay, he's generally been pretty good this season. Like, I think he's making a solid case for another All-Star team. Brunson's making an amazing case for another All-Star team, making for his first All-Star team. But so the Knicks beat the Bucks on Christmas Day. It was kind of awesome, and Brunson played amazing. Randall had a nice game. The reason they won that game, in part, was because IQ played really well and RJ played pretty well. It comes down to you need more support. You can't just have two guys. You need other guys to play well. RJ shooting the ball 17 times a game is just crushing them.
Well, shooting the way, with his field goal percentage, it's not great. It's not like you said, when RJ plays good, the Knicks win, but it doesn't happen nearly enough.
No, he does not play enough.
I mean, even in the Bucks game, he had 14 at the half, and what did he end up with, 17? Or
he's too inconsistent. Like, every once in a while, he plays well. Like, actually, he's been consistently bad since post-migraine. Like, he has had very few good games.
Yeah, it's been like two good games since out of the last like 20. It's really bad.
So my idea of RJ plus a pick for OG is looking better and better, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't even know what his trade value is at this point. Like, other teams are watching. They gotta.
Do you think the Pacers have two? Do they have two other terrible second round picks that can create us for RJ? I feel like on the team, I was thinking, not that I want to trade him for 2 seconds, and that'd be kind of ridiculous. But the Pacers are the kind of offense that RJ would thrive in. A faster offense.
Is it? Maybe.
I feel like RJ would look better in a faster, like the fact that the fact that he's very ISO heavy in this offense doesn't help RJ.
I mean, we said that about Obi, and he's not even starting anymore, so I don't know.
He got benched, yes. It's still a better version of Obi. He's playing better on offense. He's just not a good defender. When the Pacers are like, we're the worst defensive team in the NBA, and our worst defensive player is our power forward. We've got to make a switch.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't help that he's averaging like 3 rebounds a game as a starting power forward.
By the way, Pistons are up by 21. It's right by halftime.
Wow, maybe the streak will end.
The streak will end tonight.
Did they? I heard they might sit Tatum and Brown. Did that actually
Tatum
happen?
Is playing tonight.
Oh
no, maybe. Let me look at the box score. Maybe the Boston said after the first quarter, we're done.
Did
looks like they're all playing. Porzingis, Tatum, Horford, Holiday, and Derek White. The crew is there.
Wow.
And Detroit is lighting them up. Cade Cunningham is on goddamn fire.
I did
9
not
for 13,
have,
22 points.
I did not have Boston as the team that would end the Detroit losing streak.
So they're up 19 at half. This should be a really interesting second half.
Yeah.
Boston's like, hey, I don't know if we're going to win a title this year. We are sure as shit going to beat the goddamn Pistons. okay, so do you think, as far as moving this team forward, actually, we have a question about this. Let me bring up the question. So
we have a question.
Lavery writes on Facebook, how long before the Knicks is the team organization and make the next leap towards being elite contenders? What do you think is the timetable on that?
There is a rumor from somebody apparently close to the organization that says that the Knicks are finally going to make their big trade in early 2024.
Is that just a retweet from last year's rumor? like every year they just kind of carve off the number. Okay, not 2. 23. Okay, not 3, 24. well, I guess to take the next step, the team has to just find ways to improve. I think we agree RJ would be an area, a place, and just getting a 3 would be a place to really upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
DeJounte Murray has been the big rumor lately. Some in the organization see him as an ideal fit, supposedly. What do you think about the DeJounte Murray rumors? He plays shooting guard, and I think the Knicks have a few of those. He plays point guard / shooting guard.
I mean, there's also some smoke with that because apparently he's with Clutch, and the rumor is Leon is meeting with Clutch this week to kind of like mend the fences because they've had a feud going on for a while. So
Clutch, I guess the Rich Paul, is that the guy?
Yeah.
He used to work under Leon. Or just at CAA before going off and starting Clutch? That's part of the beef, part of the issue?
Right. So, yeah, apparently they left on bad terms and they said they're never going to deal with the Knicks. And now it looks like they're looking to mend the fences.
Okay. I mean, it's always good when your team president can mend fences with other agencies that he's had a feud with. Bizarre that we need to do that. But what do you think of that? So maybe that rumor is, there's a strong possibility. What do you think of the rumor? So pairing, I assume in that trade will be some guards. So we don't have like 8 guys playing guard.
I'm guessing it would be something like RJ Grimes, maybe one other shooting guard. And
you think
and
three? I feel like you think Atlanta wants players, not picks.
I think it would be at least two players and then a few picks.
Okay.
I mean, whatever's going on in Atlanta is not working. They're 12-18. They look like they're absolute toast. So they got to do something.
Is it gonna be weird when DeJounte Murray gets to the Knicks and Tibbs is like, "Are you a small forward? Do you want to play small forward?"
Guess who's our new small forward?
On the one hand, DeJounte Murray has all-star capabilities. He's the kind of player that can light stuff up. He's a better shooter than, say, RJ. Trading RJ and Grimes for him wouldn't be crazy. He's a decent defender. He's looked especially good when he plays the Knicks. What do you think of Brunson and DeJounte Murray?
I think that's a good move. He's a good defender. He's not having the best season right now, but...
No, he's not.
No, I mean, everybody in Atlanta kind of looks like garbage right now. I don't think he all of a sudden just got washed up.
No, I mean... The thing is, though, it's a weird move in the sense of, like, you're making your big move, you still don't have a three.
Right. It's like, we have eight shooting guards, so we're going to go after a shooting guard.
Yeah. I mean, Murray, I guess, is a point guard also.
But, like, anytime you can upgrade a position, you do it. So, I mean, he's having... You know what? He's having his best season of his career from the three-point line.
Sorry, say it again, Jay. You're
I'm saying he's having his best season from the three-point line.
Okay, I mean you need three-point shooting. He's a fast guard. He can actually blow by people, which the Knicks don't have too many guys that... Even Jalen Brunson really doesn't blow by guys.
Mm-hmm.
IQ clearly does not blow by guys, and Randall rarely does. Sometimes he does, but it'd be nice to have a faster guard.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's a good move if
it's if a, you're the not, team. The team would be better, right?
Yeah, the team would be better, and if you're not giving up too much, I think it's great. I still think you need
if
to upgrade
you figure
the
out how to get
position.
If you can get Murray and OG, I still think OG, I know there's a lawsuit between the Knicks and the Raptors, but I mean, the lawsuit's over the fact that the employee left the Knicks and brought the legal information to the Raptors. It wasn't the other way around.
Yeah, but they were saying like they wanted like three firsts for OG. Like he's not that good.
Right, but you also like, that's what, he's going to be a free agent this summer. So if you just wait till the summer and he goes, I want to be a Knick, and the Knicks are like, we'll do a sign and trade. You don't think the Raptors would do that? Like, I think it'd be tough to get midseason, but I feel like the Raptors, you're like, we'll take something versus nothing.
Maybe. I don't know what to think anymore after letting Van Fleet walk. Like, I don't know what's going on over there.
Yeah, I just think you're going to try to rebuild that team, and yeah, it's Scottie Barnes. You're not looking to lose. So, send RJ back to his home country. maybe that makes a big deal there and they can figure it out.
Maybe.
They can unlock the RJ.
Jamie asks, are we going to start benching players near the end of the season to be fresh for the playoffs?
I'd like to bench Julius Randle's ankle prior to the playoffs.
I don't think Tibbs would ever do that.
No. I mean, he's maybe the last game of the season.
Maybe.
This is far out. The Knicks still have to secure the sixth seed, which is not a guarantee. They got another hard game against Orlando coming up. They have a tough schedule.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. Angel writes, NYKnicks podcast at gmail.com. Angel writes, hey guys, I have two comments. First, for what it's worth, I like having longer episodes. I like hearing from a basketball friend, success or failure. I like hearing your thoughts.
Thank you,
Angel. And second comment, I think Brunson and Randall are all-star caliber players. They really don't need to be upgraded. That leaves our main upgrade targets to be at center and small forward positions.
Okay. Yeah, but I agree. It's over. Like, you could win with Randall and Brunson. I just think you need like a third option at the very least. You just need to upgrade the rest of the roster. What do you think of the center position? Well, if Mitch and Ihart are healthy, I think it's fine. But so this goes to the question we also had was, who is the Nick writes on Facebook? or maybe it was Twitter. Who is the answer via trade for center? Because Iheart ain't it as a starter. I think Iheart's been fine as a starter. I haven't had an issue with him as a starter. I think the backup role is ridiculous.
Yeah. Does that mean you're giving up on Mitch?
No, no. I'm just saying, like, if you're trying to win this season, you try to make a move for. I still would just sign. There's got to be someone else. They signed that guy in the G League. That guy who I can't pronounce his name, and he's never really going to play. The Russian guy. But they, you try to, like, you got to bring in someone else, like Nerlens Noel, just someone else. Like, this just a free agent right now, and give someone else who's a center. Like, is Taj Gibson really the best we can do at backup center?
I would be calling up Chicago and asking what they're doing with Drummond.
Would you trade for Drummond?
I mean, he's an expiring on a team that's like should be tanking, so not much, but whatever.
Yeah, Kobe White's playing really well. Chicago's not quite tanking yet.
They're not quite tanking, but when LaVine comes back and they start losing again, they'll probably be more willing to make a move.
I think Chicago might be willing to with the bench LaVine. I think we've talked about last year. I think there are options you might want to try. I just think the option of Taj Gibson as your backup. Someone actually responded to us on Twitter, was saying, like, how in 2024 is Tibbs starting Taj? Which I also don't understand that response, because I was like, what do you mean? How is he playing Taj? I mean, that's his option. He doesn't have, like, Leon Rose is the guy that's just, I don't know what Leon Rose is doing. Can Leon Rose only focus on one thing? He's like, well, I got to work on this clutch thing. I can't deal with backup center right now.
One thing at a time.
One thing at a time. I just can't. I've got my naps. I just, and I have to figure out how many trades I can make in the draft.
I don't know. Do you think Drummond would cost more than like one of those protected picks and like Sims?
I'll give up Sims, but I don't want to give up the protected just yet, just in case we need them for another trade. I don't know.
They're absolute garbage, by the way.
I give them Sims. Sims has proven to me that year three, he's not good enough to be a backup. I'm fine moving on with Sims.
Because Drummond was only getting 15 minutes a game until Vucevic got injured. As soon as Vucevic is back, like, they don't really have a use for him again.
Do you think what about Rokas? You could trade Rokas, the European guy who's never coming here.
Sure.
Though if they trade him, he'll immediately come to America and immediately be like putting up like a triple-double.
Yeah, I don't think we have to worry about that.
Yeah, it's probably not happening. Supposedly he's okay, but he's not coming here and he's not really that great either.
He's not even starting in Europe, right?
I haven't looked recently, but last year he was, I think he was a, I don't know. His numbers weren't that great. He's not like, he's not exactly a star over there. His stats.
Another brilliant currently, move.
His stats currently look like.
I'm sure it's amazing.
He's playing about 19 minutes a game.
Blown away.
Blown away. Yes. So he's not a starter over there. And, yeah, you kind of want the guy in Europe to be like, at least be like a star there before you bring him over here.
Look, anytime you could use a first round pick on a guy who's averaging 8, 2, and 3, you got to do it.
Who are you referring to?
Rokas.
He was a second round pick.
The second round.
Okay. He was actually like the 31st or 32nd. It was pretty much a wasted pick. I mean, it's a wasted pick either way, but you could have gotten someone decent there.
Yeah.
Whatever. I you take a flyer on him with no plan on how to get him here or anything like that. They took a flyer on Obi at the 8th pick with no plan on how to actually get him starter minutes. They took a flyer on having no one when Jalen. The crazy thing was that whole season when the Knicks were bad, I was like, hey, Jay, this draft, this is probably going to be the Knicks' last time to draft high, so to speak. This draft, to move this franchise forward, you have to nail this pick. You have to nail this pick. There's going to be someone there. Like, this is such an important draft. And Leon Rose said, we really, really need a three. and this guy looks really good, but what if we took no one instead? Bingo.
I mean,
Leon has done some great things also. I mean, you said you wanted to talk about Jalen Brunson, and Jalen Brunson has been goddamn awesome. And it is underrated how good of a move that was for him. To praise Leon Rose, he found a guy who another team did not appreciate, who was and Jalen Brunson, and brought him over here, and he immediately was a goddamn star.
Mm-hmm.
Brunson has looked amazing since he's been here.
Yeah.
Praise him, Jack.
He has, I think he's the only player ever to have his efficiency numbers right now. He's shooting 40-something percent from three on a crazy amount of attempts, and it's the first time we're even seeing this kind of efficiency. It's
I don't know. Well, that's not true.
Yes, it is.
The first time you're saying Steph Curry was not as efficient or done this. Come on.
He's shooting 45%.
Yeah, Steph Curry does that. Are you new to the league?
45? 45 is like really, really high.
Want to pull up Steph Curry's numbers? Are you really this crazy?
Steph Curry has only hit 45% twice in his career.
Oh, okay.
From three.
And on a ton of shots, though.
On a ton of shots, but Brunson's taken six a game.
Okay, so currently Steph Curry is shooting 12 a game and shooting 41%. It's pretty goddamn amazing.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's like...
he's not Steph.
He's not Steph, but he's...
And by the way, when he shot 45%, it was almost on 12 a game also. But Jalen Brunson has been awesome. Like, forget that. I'm not trying to deny. I'm not, like, saying he's not as good as the greatest shooter in NBA history is fine. but Brunson is having a god... You know, when the Knicks traded for him, one of the things, and he was a good three-point shooter in Dallas, so I don't know why this was the knock on him, but people were like, he's not really a three-point shooter. I guess he shot like three a game his last year in Dallas, and people were like, he's great for the twos, but he's not really a three-point shooter. He's been goddamn awesome for three this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he was 41% last year. He's shooting 45% this year. He's shooting more threes, and he's been great inside. He does... I asked this question on Twitter this week, and what's your answer? Jalen Brunson is the best Knick since. Fill in the blank.
The best Knick since... I'm going to say... Ewing.
Yeah, I think there's only one answer. I mean, it might be crazy like that. I'd say all Knick fans, a lot of Knick fans don't like Randall anyway. I'd say he's better than Randall. The guy in between is really Melo.
Mm-hmm.
Melo is not this efficient. Brunson has looked awesome, and he's looked awesome in the playoffs. The dude is just, I guess he's not a 1A according to Becky Hammond, but he's been goddamn.
Yeah, I mean, Melo was great. He had the ability to completely take over games, but he was inconsistent. And when Brunson has a bad game, it's like news. It's like, wow, Brunson wasn't good today. Like, you expect him to just be awesome every game, which is, it's a rarity.
And Brunson takes over games also. Mm-hmm. He has been, I think we are underappreciating just how goddamn good he has been.
Yeah.
He has been, like, it's just like, I mean, the nice thing that Leon Rose did is like, hey, I'm going to get a all-star, a guy that's worth a max contract, and get him on a really good deal also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like,
yeah,
that was,
true. That's
a good huge deal upgrade to the roster.
Yeah, I remember when people were saying, did the Knicks pay him too much? First of all, he's got a declining contract, which...
I mean, no one's saying that now, obviously. Everyone was like, I don't know, he was kind of a backup there. Is he really worth this money? And now everyone would give him a max contract without a hesitation.
Yeah. Yeah, which the Knicks will have to think about after next season, because he's probably going to decline his player option and ask for like $40 million.
Is it after 4 years he has the player option?
Player option's in 25, 26.
That's fifth year? I can't do math, Jay.
That's his fourth year. His fourth year is a player option.
After his fourth year?
No, his fourth year is the player option.
God damn it. So they have to max him soon, which is just so the Knicks need to make a move before then, when they can find a way with the cap before you have to max him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
yeah, my worry is the Knicks are going to trade away a bunch of firsts. The team's not going to be that much better, and we're like, okay, now we don't have any draft picks until 2030.
Well, I don't know. Hopefully they make the right trade and keep some picks and actually nail a draft pick, and then the Knicks will be set.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, you could also keep one of them and trade one of them for this year. I'd like to draft two guys in the first round and see what – do a little bit of developing also. But so DeJounte Murray, you approve of that. I am skeptical about his addition, but if you limit the amount of first – like if you – basically, if you trade for him but you have enough to get a second guy, mm-hmm. then I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I think you have to answer the three – I don't know who else the options are at three. Like, who else are the good options at three? Because obviously Mikal Bridges would be amazing, but he doesn't seem to be available.
Right.
I'm sure. Last night at the game, when end of the game, Tibbs like went up to OKC and was like, "RJ, right now for Jalen Williams. We'll do it right now."
I know. That's the problem. It's like if you just didn't punt on the draft, you'd probably be all set with roster wise.
So NBA free agents 2024, do you want to know who our options are at small forward?
Sure.
Assuming you can do a sign and trade.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it's obviously like getting a center, like your Mitchell get back. You can try to find another center. That's not as big a deal, but like, this is a big deal. Small forward.
Mm-hmm.
Here are the options and let me know what you think. Gordon Hayward.
No, too injured.
And old. Mm-hmm. He's 33 right now. I'm going to turn 34 soon. DeRozan, great shooter from two.
If they get, maybe.
Marcus Morris,
no.
Not a good option.
No.
Doug McDermott, no. Not a good option. Nicholas Batum, not a good option.
Mm-mm.
Royce O'Neal from Brooklyn. Not an amazing option. Here's one. I got one for you, Jay.
Mm-hmm.
He is a young player, super talented, has a problem with domestic violence. Miles Bridges, what do you think? The answer is no, Jay.
Yeah.
There's no way we bring Miles Bridges here.
Yeah.
Seti Osman, Otto Porter, Jay Crowder, Reggie Bullock. Ooh, I got one for you, Jay.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Knox.
So I'm not blown away by this list.
Do you know how old Kevin Knox is?
25?
24. It feels like we drafted him a lifetime ago.
It does.
Yes.
Drafting a guy like Knox with a top 10 pick does age you a lot.
Yes. Well, at least there was no one after him. That looks like a top five player in the NBA when we played them last night. you know, you could get Antetokounmpo. I still can't say his name after all these years. Antetokounmpo. You could get the Greek Freak's brother. What do you think? We had him once.
Yeah, so this it's probably going to have to come via trade because that is a poor, poor list.
Yeah, it's a really poor list. I don't know why it doesn't include OG on this list. What am I missing here? No, I'm looking at unrestricted free agents. No, I thought he's an unrestricted free agent. If I look at restricted free agents,
mm-hmm.
Patrick Williams, mm-hmm. Sadiq Bey. What do you think about Sadiq Bey?
I mean, that would be a secondary move after you trade for a star, right? You can't. The Knicks can't be like, Leon was like, mission accomplished. I got Bay.
Well, yeah, I feel like this is two moves. Jacob Toppin is playing in the G League.
I mean, unless you do the Sadiq Bay is the second player in that trade because he's also on Atlanta.
Yeah, that's what some people are talking about. And like, you get him and so you get Sadiq and you get
Murray,
and you could be as good as Atlanta.
Right.
Why is Atlanta so bad? They don't play a lot of defense, I guess.
Was Trae Young a fluke?
Trae Young still puts up decent stats, but I feel like he's a hard player to win with. He's so ball dominant. He also doesn't really play off the ball that well. He's a very frustrating player to play next to.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're a sinking ship. It's always weird to take like two guys from a sinking ship. I don't know if Sadiq is the answer to three, but at least he's a decent fill-in. That's also the idea of like keeping your two first-round picks and then drafting two small forwards this time with your first-round picks. Maybe one of them turns into a decent player.
Interesting strategy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if we did that 2 years ago, we might have had Jalen Williams. But I do think you have two first-round picks. Try to keep them. Try to see if you can find a backup center, and find a small forward or two small forwards. This team needs to get bigger. I'm not against the DeJounte Murray trade as long as you don't give up too much. Even though Atlanta wants a ton for him, so whatever. Larry Marketing would be nice. Do you think we should give 18 first rounders for him?
Danny Ainge is like out of his mind.
What would you give for Marketing? Of all, obviously, I guess if order of preference, I think Mikal Bridges is number one. OG's up there for me. What would you trade for Marketing? If Danny's in the phone, he's like, hey, just want to get him out, get him to the East, not the West. I'm not going to go insane. Give me your best offer.
RJ.
And remember, he doesn't want RJ anyway, as he didn't want RJ for the Donovan Mitchell trade.
Yeah, I know. Still RJ.
You wanted Grimes. Grimes is available.
RJ Grimes, and three of our finest protected first round picks.
Yeah, I would do that. Getting Markkanen in here would be a huge upgrade.
Yeah.
That would be nice to have another true deep threat. Got size. He can play small forward. He can play power forward. That would be pretty awesome. I hope. I don't want this to be a severe injury, just maybe a temporary injury where Danny Ainge hits his head, kind of has temporary amnesia, and accidentally trades Markkanen to the Knicks. And then he's fine thereafter. No long-term injury. Just
that would
just
be like
minor
the
one.
Exact player the Knicks need.
You don't think that's the player? Who do you want?
No, I said that would be the exact player the Knicks need.
In order of preference, what's your order of preference? Top three guys you would like to get small forward?
That are gettable?
That are remotely gettable.
Yeah, I mean, it would probably be Lowry at number one.
I think Bridges, but yeah.
Yeah, maybe Bridges, Lowry, and
I say OG, and I really think the fact, and then like, it's not like I didn't come up with this, but like the fact that he is connected to Leon Rose, I really think that's happening this summer. Like I'm gonna put it at 40%, 50% maybe that it's happening this summer. I really think something's there. The Knicks are not talking it up right now, but like they need a small forward so badly. He's going to be a free agent.
That has to be,
and he's represented by like Leon's son. Like this is happening.
It has to be the second move, though. That can't just be.
No, you're right. You have to make two moves. I totally agree with you. But at least that would be a major upgrade, and you can make another move from there.
Yeah,
Donovan Mitchell, I do not think is going to be a Knick.
The problem is, by the time he's a free agent, the Knicks are going to be so capped out, they're not going to be able to do it.
I don't think he's going to make sense anyway. I don't think it's happening. In some way, I mean, like, it's just fit-wise. I just don't think, even DeJounte Murray, who's not as good of a player as Donovan Mitchell, makes some more sense because he has size.
He has size, and he's a good defender.
I saw on Knicks Reddit thread where someone was saying, you know what's not been really been talked about this season? The Knicks are kind of a small team. And to which like 15 people responded, what are you talking about? That's all people are saying on this on Reddit.
There was the OKC's bench was a lot smaller, but their starting lineup, I felt like all five positions they were bigger than the Knicks.
Well, they also, everyone's super athletic. They made the point in the telecast last night. They have guys in this roster who'd be playing more minutes elsewhere. Mm-hmm. But, like, they have so much talent on that team. SGA looks insane. He looks so good. Seeing Chet Holmgren in, like, I hadn't really watched too much of him. I'm like, holy shit, that guy's going to be goddamn amazing.
Hands down, he's winning Rookie of the Year.
Hands down. And he looks so, like, his... Whereas, like, I see Wemby doing guard-like stuff, and I'm like, what the hell is he doing? Chet can kind of pull it off.
Mm-hmm.
He's awesome. He seems to know what he's doing. The Jalen Williams looks awesome. The support, like, they've got a really... I think they... I would not be surprised if they end up in the finals this year. I think they're that good. I think if everyone stays healthy, they're going to surprise people in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. What? Remember when the East and West was even for like a year and now the West is like super deep again?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm fine with that. Send everyone to the, like, make it the easiest path possible for the Knicks. Let's see. Before we go, Jay, let's just do a quick update.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the score is of the Celtics Pistons game?
I'm gonna say the Celtics pulled to within 14.
Okay, we are 6 minutes to go in the third. It is a 7-point game.
Here we go.
The Celtics won on a 20-8 run to start the third quarter. Let's see what happens. Cade is Let's see if Detroit, I mean, they didn't get their two wins for nothing. They know how to fight back.
At halftime, the coach was just like, really? You're really going to lose this game?
You guys have no, like, just no heart. Like, come on. You cannot lose it. That's the thing. Like, I know, you can win. Any team could be any team on a given night. And certain teams, like, if you're playing, like, a top team, you're kind of, like, expecting to really gun for them. But I also think when you're playing an average bad team, you're not always like, you let your guard down. Mm-hmm. When you're playing a team on a 28 game losing streak, you don't let your guard down because you're like, we can't lose to them.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, with like every loss, they're going to be trying even harder to, like, because now it's just embarrassing. Like, they got to end the streak.
Yeah. 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 The, so you want to look at the Knicks, by the way, Obi is still on the bench tonight. He's played 14 minutes, so it's actually pretty, like, a bunch of minutes through the first half. So, but he is on the bench. You think I don't want to hate on Obi, really, but I just, like, I'm not really hating on Obi. I wish him the best. I'm just hating on all the Knicks fans that were like, Obi's amazing, and he should start over Randall. And, like, I hate the Knicks where they stand guys that aren't that good.
Yeah. So the okay. Knicks have played 6 more away games than home games so far, and yeah. 6 out of the next 9 games are also away. So this has been a great season.
The Knicks have a lot of home games coming up.
Yeah, the second half of the season is going to have a lot.
Yeah, so they got coming up, they got Orlando tomorrow night. Indiana, we get to see Obi on December 30th. New Year's Day, they got Minnesota, and probably Chicago. The next 4 games before we do our next show, probably next Thursday. What do you think is going to happen? Orlando, Indiana, Minnesota, Chicago. Those are 4 pretty tough games.
They are. I'm going to say they win 3 out of 4, though, losing the Minnesota game.
I am going to call it now. I don't think Obi's going to have an amazing season. I don't think he'll play on. I don't think he'll even be on the Pacers next year. But on Saturday night, Obi puts up 40 points against the Knicks.
Yeah, career high.
You know he's going to have an amazing monster game. Absolutely. That's just how it works.
Career high. You could mark it down right now. I am betting on the over. Now that we can actually bet, I am actually going to put money on Obi on the over because it's almost a lock.
It's a lock. Obi will hit 14 threes.
Mm-hmm.
He will play. He will have the game-winning block of Jalen Brunson.
Yeah.
It'll be something crazy we'll have. Like, he's going to have, like, whatever the under-over is, for his points, there's never been a greater lock. You should, this is not official advice, just a casual fan's advice. You should bet every dollar you can get your hands on for the over for Obi's points. Can you see right now what the over under is for his points?
No, I don't think they set it till like the day of.
Okay. I'm going to assume it's going to be something like 12 or 13. He's going for 40. I don't think you should bet 40, but you should bet over whatever Vegas says.
Do you think I can pay off my mortgage by next year if I just bet the over on whoever the Knicks are playing to hit more threes than the spread? Because
that would probably be
seems like every single game like, it's we're 30 games into the season now, and they're just not guarding the 3-point line.
Do you think he could be retired already by just betting the over, like betting on the Nick effect?
Yeah, you just pick like who's the seventh man on this roster, over $100 million, and it
wins
every time.
Yeah, you could retire off just betting on the Nick effect. Just pick like the random guy who's going to go off every night. But I do think you should sell all your crypto and bet it all on Obi going over on Saturday night.
Maybe I will.
I actually am going to look. I haven't made too many bets. I don't gamble all that often, but I think I might look into this and bet on this also. Let's do this, Jay. Let's make a lot of money Saturday night.
So what's your prediction for the next four?
Oh, okay. They are going to beat Orlando. Mm-hmm. They're going to lose to Indiana. The combination of Obi having his revenge game and Haliburton just being hard to stop. Minnesota is going to be tough. They're going to lose to Minnesota. Knicks fans are going to want to rebuild, blow it all up. Then they're going to beat Chicago, and Knicks fans are going to be like, everything's fine.
We're going to make it to the finals this year because we beat Chicago by 30.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, that's exactly how it will go. Yeah.
Yep. All right, so we are NY Knicks Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Patreon, nyknickspodcast@gmail.com. If you want to email us, and at NY Knicks Podcast on YouTube. We do the shows live, so you can join the chat. And we also do live on Twitter and Twitch. We are Crumpled Bacon on Twitch.
Oh, by the way, I know last show we started going over the bad teams and trying to make trades with them. We will return to that segment next show. We'll keep adding it in at the end of the shows. Some trade ideas. I like the idea of going through the worst teams and trying to come up with trades.
Yeah, yeah. So I think the rumor said that the Knicks aren't going to make trades till 2024 because January 15th, a bunch of players become available to be traded.
So. Jay, you are telling me on December 28th, the Knicks aren't going to make any trades till next year. That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they lost, so you'd think they'd panic trade and pull the trigger, but
I'm shocked that the next 3 days they're not making a trade. That just sounds ridiculous to me. I think you're wrong, Jim.
But yeah, I'd keep January 15th on the calendar. Something might happen around then.
4:40 to go in the third quarter. Pistons are up by one.
I can't believe. Well, I can, but I can't believe how quickly that 20-point lead evaporated.
I mean, that locker room at halftime must have been just insane. They're just like, Tatum, if you don't win tonight, you should just retire from basketball.
All right. So thanks for listening, everybody. We will be back probably next Thursday and hopefully talking about four wins.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And we're talking about how we were completely wrong about RJ and he had the week of a life.
Well, that won't happen, but talk to you soon.
We're going to be just, why not? Just be all optimistic. Just be like, 4-0, RJ has an amazing week. Knicks also trade for Jalen Brunson because the OKC wanted IQ. Or sorry, they wanted, I'm going to make it crazy. They wanted Evan Fournier really badly. And Wemby was somehow thrown into the deal. Okay.
Goodbye, everybody.
Happy trails to you. Bye. Bye, love.